Hey, everybody. Great show this morning. We discussed some of the engagement farming that's going on in the NFT space, including a thread claiming that they have information that is going to out some of the bigger crypto folks for nefarious behavior. I'm speculating it's engagement farming. We'll see what happens. We also do an in-depth conversation on gaming in NFTs and then also discuss some of the stories of the past 24 hours, including Dippies having their Vans mint come out, and also the We Are All Going to Die, yes, that's an NFT project, sacrificing a mutant ape and continuing with the performance art technique that the Goblin Town folks actually pioneered to an extent. As always, you can sign up for FTX, our sponsor, at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday. I put way too much coffee in my French press, so I'm all hopped up. Hope everyone's having a good morning. This is the NFT Morning Show. This happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern, where we talk all things NFT market, trade talk, what trends we're seeing in the market, who's making money, who's getting wrecked, and the overall story of the Web3 space. I'm excited to kick things off today. Nifty Nick, my co-host, what's going on?
You didn't finish the song.
I didn't finish the song. You're right.
We've gone through this, Pia.
So now you want the whole second song?
I feel like it's two songs. I feel like that's like the thing. You get the whole thing. And I was sitting there. Hey, stay
we
out of this.
We did the second song, and it's 9:08. We could do a radio show.
I'd like to do a 20-minute music radio show, and then continue that for another 20 minutes. That really reduces the overhead on us, on any of our obligations. And then, starting at 9:40, we can start having this conversation for the remaining, 50 minutes. Anyways.
Nick's trying to fill up that space.
I'm trying to cover over the fact that I sold my Goblin last night.
Did you?
I did.
So did you claim?
Thank fucking God. Oh, my God.
Did you claim the burger?
I had already done that, yeah. Basically, I broke even on this. And I honestly would keep holding this. The issue I ran into was two things. One, just ETH's price action. And to me, it's my decision was basically a short on ETH. Otherwise, I would actually hold on to this.
Okay, so you're saying because you're bearish on ETH, you don't want to watch your Goblin gains evaporate because the value of ETH against US dollars is just going down, down, down.
Basically, someone's in the Discord, Johnny Blaze. Shout out to Johnny Blaze, who said, I broke even, so it's a sob story. That's correct. So this is a sad moment. I'd like a moment of silence for the fact that I broke even on my trade.
Let's interrupt that moment of silence. Easy. Do you approve?
No, I mean, I'm not surprised Nick is giving us a sob story about him not losing money. It's just significant.
Wait, you don't approve of this trade?
No, I approve of it.
Easy was the one that was encouraging it because he literally...
Okay, Nick?
We're doing a good bit of talking over each other this morning. That's the best. That's the sign that you're a real professional and you do this 90 minutes.
It's Nick this time, P.O. It's Nick this time.
Yeah, for people that don't know, I'm always yelling at Kix because when an idea pops into Kix's mind, his ADD brain goes off and he just blurts it out independent of someone speaking. But that was actually Nick talking over Easy Eat. So that's an interesting combo.
Okay, great.
Combo. We don't normally get that one. You know, we usually get some other mix. But Easy, so you approved the exit. How long had you been telling Nick to floor that Goblin?
Before the airdrop.
That's what I figured too.
Yeah, I've been adamant. Like, I didn't even like him buying the Goblin in the first place. Sure, it went up in ETH, but, like, I'm glad that he just let ETH sit in an asset while ETH went down, and he says he broke even, but ETH's down, like, $150, bro. It's not looking pretty.
I mean, the day Nick bought the Goblin, I feel like it went up by 2 or 3 ETH, so you actually could have made a bag that day,
Nick,
if you had sold it.
It went from 6 to 9, and he was just sitting on it still. He made a great trade. You should have exited the trade.
I'm not speaking over people right now, okay?
It was a good trade, Nick. Kicks, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
How about do I get an opportunity to defend myself while people are saying, Pierre's like, oh, Nick's over here talking over people while I'm being insulted. I'm being just shade is thrown my way. And then you're being like, shut your fucking mouth.
I'm bullying you in a creative way right now. I'm like, calling out the fact
not really
that you're speaking over people. This is a good one for sure.
Hey, Nick.
Are you going with your thought? Because I don't want to speak over you.
Well, I was just saying that P.O. called on me. My hand was raised and then you interrupted. I just wanted to let you know that the hand.
Okay. Nice.
When you're called on the hand raised, that's like, that's even more, you're not supposed to interrupt than if I didn't have my hand raised. I just want to let you know the rule.
I'm glad for spending time on this.
I think from now on, you just have to say over when you're done speaking. So Nick knows when he can hop in.
Okay. I like that. Pia, I just wanted to address earlier, you're talking about trends. One trend that I've noticed is that I love coffee, but for some reason, the press things make my stomach hurt. Over.
Thanks for that. Thank you for that insight, Kix. Really appreciate it. Spencer raised his hand. I want to throw to Spencer before we dive into our weather report. What's going on, Spencer?
Because this has been really just solid NFT conversation so far.
So Spencer, I actually wanted to touch on something that you guys were joking about, but I do seriously, is like, I've been taking a lot of shorts out in the market right now, specifically triple leverage SPY shorts in my personal account, because I want to. There's a lot of JPEGs that I don't want to sell at current levels, but I'm also assuming they're going to go down. And because you can't short them, the best thing I think to do is hedge. So the way that I've been hedging is I've noticed there's like there's a correlation between the S&P and the price of ETH, because they're all just the market shitting the bed right now. And so every time I think I should sell some of my JPEGs, instead I just take more shorts out on the market. And you can buy leveraged products without actually taking leverage via like a few like triple leveraged index funds that are available to trade. So that's what I do to hedge my risk right now, rather than just like fire selling JPEGs into an illiquid market.
I mean, that's great insight, Spencer. And do you feel like, I don't know, like right now, is that kind of the only way to properly hedge if you're, you know, super deep in the NFT space?
You can't. Like, there are ways to short ETH, right? TracerDAO, for those who don't know, has a product where you can on-chain, like, leverage and short ETH. So there's other ways to do it. I prefer to stay with certain products, but I think a lot of people don't do enough hedging or enough diversification of assets. And so like there is a scenario the way that I'm doing it where and we've seen it happen a couple of times where like the S&P goes up and ETH goes down, and that's when I get super wrecked. But I am bearish enough on the market overall that I just think everything's gonna go down. So there's a number of ways of getting that hedge. But definitely people should be looking. And for those who don't know, like a hedge is when you have both sides of a position. So you're basically long and short the same asset such that your volatility goes down.
I like it, Spencer. Sharing the insight from the institutional perspective. Very nice. Nick, you have something to add?
No.
All right. Captain Kicks, you have your hand raised. Time for our weather report. Let's rock and roll, buddy.
Hello, welcome Tuesday's weather report. Just to summarize what Spencer has said, we have now gone from a buy the dip mentality to a short the rip mentality. That's what I've been doing out there because the markets are looking quite shaky. Once again, shout out to Signal, the best in the business at the weather reports. Thank you very much. So yesterday, OpenSea, $31 million, looks rare. $6 million, bringing us to a total of $37 million. A little bit lower than the action we've been seeing lately, but not too much lower. We have apes just below 95 ETH, mutants below 19, punks down at 48. All the rest of the blue chips, moonbirds, doodles, clonex, all ranging. Goblin Town down to 5.5, and for the first time in a while, down to 7. On the leaderboard. Still have not seen an increase in unique holder account, 4.6K. Definitely some interesting things going on over there. We did see some volume in the Bored Ape Yacht Club. I mentioned this on the show yesterday, but we had a 750 ETH coming in from the Japanese crypto financing fund, Tokyo Token. There's a Twitter account, NFT Statistics, tweeted that Tokyo Token spent more ETH in one day than all of the purchases combined on Doodles, Clones, Moonbirds, BAYC, and Azuki the day before. The Japanese trying to come and save the NFT market. We'll see how that's working out. We are going to die leading the 24-hour volume at a 1.1 ETH floor. You may ask why that happened, and it's because they are literally doing a blood sacrifice to the market gods. They sacrificed a newly purchased Mutant Ape Yacht Club worth 21 ETH to a burn address. The community loved it, so then they decided to go burn their We Are Gonna Die NFTs. Never seen.
Completely cut out.
And that's why the floor is up. Never seen that one before. People burning their own NFTs, and because a project burnt an NFT, and because of that, the floor price is up. We have DGens by OSF and Mando pumping overnight after announcing their upcoming utility access pass to DGens. Snapshot is on the 14th of June. Really getting ahead of that snapshot for a pump floor at 0.6 ETH. Artifact announced Space Drip Forging will go live. Owners of Space Force 1 NFT will be able to redeem the physical sneakers. Floor to 2.7 ETH. I may be able to get out of that with just a small loss. We had some whacking of the markets overnight. ETH at 1.7K. Bitcoin at 29K, a little bit of stabilization into the morning. The stock markets are down as well. And just to summarize, we are in still a very weird market. None of the blue chips are doing much. It's all weird mints going up and going down. If you're trying to make some money in this market, I suggest that you're in the Nifty Portal chat. Because these DGens in there are trading everything under the sun, and you're sure to catch a winner if you just sit in there like you're fishing and you just wait for a fish to come by and give you a little bit of a nibble. But other than that, it's looking just boring out there and rough. We're still waiting for something exciting on the horizon, hoping that it comes to an NFT store near you. Back to you in the studio, P.O. Thanks, Nick, for the feedback on the choppiness. I hope increasing my volume helped it. Over.
Thank you for the weather report, Gix. Easy, you have your hand raised. You raised it during the weather report. Was there something you wanted to add to the weather report, or was it a different topic you wanted to discuss?
It was moving on. It was more so about the we are gonna all gonna die or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about this thing.
Yeah, so I was in the space last night listening. There was like fire cracking, a dragon, a whole bunch of shit. And then all of a sudden a voice like came over. It was basically just like, yeah, we're going to sacrifice it. And then there was a bunch of monkey and chip noises. And that's then when we saw the mutant sacrifice. And then the Discord went crazy. The floor actually, it was probably one of the weirdest trading moments I've seen. Because I was sitting there like, shit, do I buy one of these? If people start burning the hell out of them, immediate supply squeeze. It should pump. As soon as they burned the mutant, people started flooring the absolute hell out of their We Are Gonna Dies. And it went from like a one floor down to like a 0.7, 0.69, before it then just ripped right again up to 1.3 ETH. And it seemed like there was some counterattacks going on from Mutant Ape holders who were upset that a mutant got burned. There was just all these crazy dynamics with it. And to be honest with you, like, I'm so pro NFT cults, and that's what we got right now. So I'm a huge fan.
Well, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I hope it's recorded because I want to at least catch a little bit of it. But to me, this is taking the trend that Goblin Town started, or really in some ways innovated, right? So I was talking about this as soon as Goblin Town came out, is this whole performance art angle, coming up with the idea, coming up with an ecosystem, characters, and then going
apes
out and performing.
Apes used to do this, though. Sorry to interrupt you, Pio, but apes used to, like, the origins of apes was in clubhouse rooms. Everyone used to go make monkey sounds. Like, this is a returning back to the monkey sounds clubhouse days.
Sure, and it's definitely, and I appreciate you referencing that. I do feel, though, that there's iterations that have been made, right? Because it's more than just making the sound. Like, Goblin Town, sure, is very, very similar, but this whole, we are all going to die, you know, having this ceremonial cult sacrifice. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that it took so long for a group to figure this out. Perhaps Goblin Town reviving the performance art angle inspired them and allowed them to run with this. The art on We Are All Gonna Die, I think it's safe to say it looks like it was hastily made. I don't think that I'll catch too much hate from the artists in the room.
It's good pixel art.
Okay. It feels hastily made to me when I look at it compared to some other pixel art. But the performance is very, very strong, clearly. And the idea of burning a valuable NFT as a sacrifice in, like, a cult-like fashion, I think is something that would connect really well with the NFT space.
Hey,
and look at that.
Hey, Pio.
What's up, Nick?
Pio, I was just wondering. So I'm a Blobblin the Goblin. And I just wanted you to know, I just want to say hey and thank you for having me here. I also wanted you to know that it's been a real struggle for me because I can't say, I always say Goblin, but my name is Blobblin, and I'm also a big fan.
Nick was inspired.
I'm a big fan of Janis Joplin and Lily Tomlin. But I've always been saying Goblin, and my family, it just doesn't understand it.
I told Nick, yes.
Goblin. That's how you say it. I can't say the actual word. It's just a real struggle, despite my name being Blobblin, the Goblin.
I told Nick yesterday, I've been very,
sorry,
very...
Sorry, Pio. We don't need to describe the background chatter, but really appreciate you having me on the show.
I just always appreciate Nick doing characters. So if he's ever inspired,
hey,
a character,
look,
do it.
I appreciate you explaining that. Thank you.
Well, I felt like that Goblin kind of came out of left field in the middle of the show's
regular
conversation.
Hey, I just really appreciate that. Thank you.
Kix, you have your hand raised. Is that by accident, or do you have something to contribute?
Yeah, I had something, and then Goblin Grandpa made me forget everything, but over.
Fair enough. Well, you know, Ben, you have your hand raised. Can't wait. What's going on, Ben? Nice. Jesus, man, we can't. Yeah, the Twitter's got to work on some of these vocal transforms.
What did that sound
that
like?
Filter?
I did that by accident.
It sounded literally inaudible. You actually could not understand anything that you were saying.
Okay,
that was
good.
Hilarious.
All right, good, because I fucked up. Like,
Ben, did a pipe bomb go off in your room?
There's literally a voice transformer. When I heard Nick doing his stupid little voice, I was like, why doesn't he just use one of these voices? So I was trying to, like, listen to them, and I forgot that one was still selected. So let's just...
I think you just blew out my eardrums.
My bad, guys. Sorry. Next time I'll do it with one a little goblin ear. But I wanted to talk about the Unreal Engine 5. I've been seeing a bunch of trailers and teasers coming out of people messing around with those, and I think that when we talk about, like, gaming and metaverse land and experiences, you know, for NFTs and blockchain, you know, how do people feel when they see, like, you know, a sandbox Minecraft pixelated version compared to something as, like, hyper realistic as Unreal Engine? And, like, is there much of a difference to you guys in terms of how much, you know, time you would spend playing either one of those types of games? And I'm just curious on, like, people's thoughts on gaming in general on that.
Anybody want to chime in?
Yeah, about that. I think the sandbox and voxel play is terrible. I think projects that build on that, I don't really see much of a value, to be honest. You don't hear a bunch of people who are like, oh my God, I can't wait to play sandbox. And I've been expressing that, like, distaste towards that path since the Boryoku Dragons decided to do, like, voxels as, like, their big reward for holders. That was when I sold mine. I was like, this is a terrible decision because I don't see a day or time or day and age where I ever play Sandbox personally. And I like video games. So like for me, I just don't really get why that's like a big focus or play. I think Unreal Engine 5 is great and all. It gives you a framework and kind of like an out of the box way to get something that looks better and have an easier way to go live with that. So I mean, I'm definitely more preferential towards that. I kind of like the more realistic look. The voxels and stuff, it seems like it's like a quick way for projects to add value to something that's never really going to take off.
Spencer?
Yeah, I would just like add that I agree with Easy in the sense of like I just don't get the thesis for Sandbox at all, or Decentraland, to be honest. And I think there will be a point, like Axie Infinity is the closest to a AAA game that's a crypto game. But like when I think about successful metaverses, I think about Overwatch. That game, people spend, the median Overwatch player spends 6 hours a day in the game. It's insane.
Damn.
The commitment level of players in that game. And I think part of it is that it's built on something closer to like Unity or Unreal Engine. Part of it is gameplay, but like if you like the easiest way to see that a crypto product is just being like, oh, we have a game versus actually like trying to build a AAA game is like twofold. One, like for example, the Bored Ape Yacht Club or Yuga Labs like is just now hiring developers, right? Like they didn't have in-house devs before. And like, I don't know, like is that a real game if you didn't have in-house devs before? And then like the other one is, are they trying to build it on the most cutting edge software, or are they trying to build it the fastest before the next cycle ends? And so I'm excited to see the output of games, because anyone in like there hasn't been time since the dawn of this NFT bull run to build a proper game with a proper 3D engine. And so like we're not in that inning of this yet. And like, for example, the best developers I know of in the space are actually the Cool Cats team led by Skids. I'm sure there are other good developers, but he's a Unity developer. Like they're building something 3D, right? And so it'll be interesting to see that all play out.
And you saw how challenging, you know, that has been. I don't know if that is he working on the Cool Pets ecosystem?
No. So this is the whole thing with the Cool Cats, is that like there's a completely different team that built the game that we've played than the team that's working on their Unity game. They're like entirely unrelated. And I know Skids has expressed a little frustration that people always associate him with the game that was released, because him and his entire team didn't touch that game.
Gotcha. Wow, so they're working on two different gaming verticals. I did not know that. A little bit of shade, or I should just say a few questions thrown towards Other Deed as well by Spencer. The questioning continues for the Yuga Labs team. Time for them to answer. Captain Kicks, CEO of Crypto Raiders, you know a thing or two about crypto games. What's going on?
Yeah, I have a lot to say. I think that was a great question by Benjamin. I honestly think that it really doesn't matter the fidelity or like the graphical depth to a metaverse or a video game. It really boils down to something very simple, which is the metaverse or is the game itself like interesting enough to play? You can have a game that's built on the most high-end game engine out there and has insanely good graphics, and it can completely flop, whether it's a video game or a metaverse, because it's just not fun to play. A lot of people think that like people only want to play, you know, high-end graphics or something like that. Roblox is a great example of an actual functioning metaverse with insane amounts of revenue. They're a publicly traded company. They released their figures last month, and for Q1, they had 54.1 million daily active users. And you can look up the graphics on the game. It's sort of similar to Minecraft, right? And, you know, Minecraft has it's not that high daily active users, but they have daily active users very high as well. So there can be a trap, especially if you're looking at NFT projects where you're like, wow, the graphics on this are sick. So, you know, therefore I want to, you know, like it's going to go to the moon. No, at the end of the day, you know, the data actually shows that people, you know, want to actually play something that is interesting. So I don't think like Sandbox's problem is that they're a Minecraft or a Roblox graphical quality. Their problem is going to be whether what's going on in the sandbox is interesting enough for people to want to play. And then one final note on the Yuga Labs thing. Yeah, a little concerning maybe that they're just like hiring devs for the first time right now, but I also do know that they're outsourcing their like metaverse development to that company Improbable, which is probably like a good company to outsource it to. They'll probably do a better job of building a metaverse than if Yuga Labs tried to do that all in-house, because that's a, you know, huge, huge, huge project. But I just wanted to say that there's games with great graphics that do great, and there's games with great graphics that flop, and there's games with low fidelity graphics that do great, and games with low fidelity graphics that don't do well. So I wouldn't like use the graphical quality as like the end all be all for my investment theses.
Yeah, I want to pick your brain a little bit more on that, Kix, especially since, you know, you're in a great position to speak with the perspective of someone who not just plays the games but builds them also. And I did leave out a couple of different styles. Like we have the pixelated style, and then also maybe more of the illustrative style, like similar to like a Fortnite or so. But I love the point that you raised about Roblox, and that's kind of where my questions stem from, because in this industry, in NFTs at least, you know, we've seen people have certain preferences about the way they look at art, whether they want like 3D, you know, hyper realistic, pixelated, whatever their preference is, they're willing to go into different qualities of artwork per se. If it's something that's popularized, something that they want to spend a lot of time in, you know, a community that they enjoy. So it's not necessarily about what it looks like from that perspective. But when we look at who's going to be the future of these metaverses, it's a lot of the people who spend their time on the computers already, you know, people who are millennials and down for the most part, like, you know, majority wise. But the kids seem to love the more, you know, pixelated and Fortnite style of games. Do you think it has anything to do with like the network effect of that's where they all are right now? Or is it have to do anything with the type of quality of the visuals that they're experiencing, you know, especially including like virtual reality becoming a little bit more popularized?
Yeah, it's a great question, because if you look at Minecraft, like Minecraft is essentially like a sandbox builder, right? So you think like, you know, they're building with blocks. It's like way harder to make like a, you know, a builder with that much depth with like super high, you know, high quality graphics. It also allows a lot more people to play the game, because you don't need like a, you know, crazy graphics card to play it. The interesting thing on like the Roblox end, though, it's like Roblox is literally what people are saying they want like a sandbox or Decentraland to be. So like Roblox, like they actually have developers. And if you read up this, like it's community developers, and you read up the stories, a lot of times it's like a 20-year-old developer and they're building like Roblox mini games. And it's something like, you know, Roblox gets like 70% of the revenue and the developer gets like 30% of the revenue generated from the game. But it's literally like, it's literally like a metaverse. You know what I mean? There's like people building on top of Roblox that are not hired by Roblox to do that. They're like independent contractors. I think it really boils down at the end of the day to just the quality of the game itself. I think everything being equal, if you have two pretty much identical games, one that has higher graphics is probably going to be more exciting, and people are going to lean towards that. The only exception to that rule is if you factor in mobile, which is massive, right? It's a lot easier to play, you know, Minecraft on a mobile phone than it is, you know, to play a crazy high graphic game. But then we just had like Diablo Immortals come out, and Diablo Immortals is making waves, and it's pretty good graphics, and it's optimized for mobile. Actually, fun fact about Diablo Immortals coming out, some people did the math, and in order to fully max out your character in the game, it cost $110,000. And you still don't even own the character, so you can't
easily sell it. 10 plus years, right? They said like 100,000 in 10 years of playing, something like that.
Yeah, it would take a really long time to sink into the game. But it is interesting to see that these games are changing, like, you know, the how they're willing to push monetization. And I mean, they got a lot of pushback, right? where people are like, oh, I don't want to play a game where I have to sink this much money to get like to the absolute max level. But you are seeing some interesting like Web3 parallels start to pop up in traditional gaming where you're like, you know, if I was going to do that, I'd really prefer to like own the NFTs and own all of the assets that I'm collecting. But yeah, at the end of the day, the one thing that I've learned is that game development is very, very, very hard. And it's also very much of a hit-based business. So there's a lot of games out there that are going to put in really good effort to develop stuff, and they're just going to fail because they're not going to, you know, just hit the zeitgeist of interest. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, and if it costs that much, like $100,000 plus to fully max out a character in a game like that, then that's obviously incredibly bullish for NFTs. It starts to make a Mutant Ape or, you know, a Doodle costing $50,000 plus make a lot more sense, right? And when you think about it, and then when you look at something like Otherdeed, you have to imagine that they're probably angling for like a World of Warcraft type play. So then you can start to extrapolate and imagine what those assets might be worth. I do want to move on from gaming. We have a bunch of other speakers on stage. I'll, you know, kind of kick it off. I'll throw it to Gray, who's rocking an OK Bear. I'd be curious to know if Easy has any thoughts on that too. Gray, you're still rocking with the Bears. You didn't feel like selling the top on that one?
No, I think they stand a good chance to make something with Solana. I'm a huge fan of the Solana NFT community, even though...
Let's go!
Solana fan here. Let's go.
Exactly. So I just think that, you know, they stand a chance. And as much as I love ETH and I have some of the big collections in Ethereum, the Solana ecosystem has created a whole new audience that it was impossible for them to get into the ETH because of gas fees and all. So I'm coming from education... of Web3 side of things. So, you know, I just love Solana. But so my background is in 3D computer graphics, Unreal Engine, and a little bit of
But we are going to move on from the video game and Unreal conversation. If you want to say a quick piece on it, but otherwise I do want to get back to more broader NFT topics, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. My point, I just wanted to point out that whenever you're trying to push the envelope about gaming and art, usually people try to push the conversation towards 3D. So you have seen so many of the 2D collections saying that, oh, we're now going to do a 3D version. In gaming, that doesn't seem to work. So I think that the majority of the gaming core community are usually in Japan. And if you look at the art that comes from Japan, is typically more exaggerated, more caricature. And for other games like FIFA, for example, that are very popular in the world, they have data that has shown that the more they make the game, they try to make it more realistic, the less people get interested. So I don't know if getting like super complex engines to render some high fidelity games will help in anything. If anything, you're just going to pretty much turn some real gamers off. That's why we have so many good games in the world, but still some of the most popular games are still like very basic, at least aesthetically. But they have a much better gaming experience, in which in the NFT gaming space, it's just something that we're lacking because people are focusing on the wrong things, like the tokenomics and the realism, I guess. But otherwise, love the goblins as well. I see a couple of people here rocking some goblins. Let's go.
Nick, you raised your hand. Was there a comment that you had?
Yeah, I wanted to find out what the deal is with these Dippies, Vans, or whatever they are, because Discord is all over them, and it seems to be the talk of the town.
I'm pretty sure that you are on the allow list because they sponsored our show. Shout out to Dippies a couple weeks ago. That was a great, great, great sponsorship partnership thing. So shout out to Dippies. It seems like they're building a great project, and I'm pretty sure, Nick, that you can mint one of those Vans. I'm pretty sure.
Today.
I don't know the release date and everything, but I'm pretty sure that whenever
you just want to skip over the thing with the Discord, I don't understand what. So I'm trying to get insight on this.
Well, hey, if anybody on stage has insight into Dippies, definitely. I mean, we learned about them when they came on the show.
They literally talked about their entire project for like a 30-minute span, Nick. Were you bagel deep?
Okay, there's a lot of conversation. Sorry, my apologies. I was loading their website and their music plays. But I'm trying to figure out what the logistic is on getting these vans. That's what the Discord was interested in. I wanted to ask the question. I'm trying to get answers, and I'm being told to essentially it was irrelevant. My apologies, everybody. My apologies.
Let me get Eric on stage.
I will move on.
Eric told me that he has stage fright, and that's why every time I have him, I invite him to come on stage, he refuses to do it. Eric, please come on stage to explain everything that you know about Dippies. Please, this is part of your job, Eric. If you don't come on stage, you're fired. Eddie, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Good morning, Nifty Portal. How's it going, guys?
Good, buddy.
Doing good. So, I do have, like, first off, I will say I am super hyped for the NFT NYC event. Like, I'm gonna go. I'm super, super psyched to see what you guys have got going on. But speaking of NFT NYC, I don't know if you guys are okay if I just, like, ask a few questions regarding that.
Sure.
But just, like, generally speaking, one thought that I've had now, like, to preface this, I will be talking about a My Bags situation, just because
you can talk about stuff you own, just not stuff that you work for.
Right. Exactly. Token Proof. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Token Proof for me, I've just been, like, wondering about it because I feel like it's both the most talked about and most under talked about situation of about the next 2-3 weeks. Literally every project is utilizing their services. It's like it came out of nowhere, really, in the last two to three months, from having essentially zero exposure to being used by Bored Ape and World of Women, go down the line. They do have an NFT which has zero utility, as stated. So just be wary if anyone actually looks into it and wants to buy it. There's literally zero utility associated with it, unless they choose to add it. But I'm just curious, like, these types of companies that come out and kind of just, I'm like, I don't know what to really add on that or how to really interpret this type of thing. But just how do we feel about the whole token proof system? How do we feel about, just generally speaking, these awesome, super low-key companies that kind of come out and just immediately are one of the most used things? Like, this feels like a premint type of situation with me, where a company comes out, creates critical infrastructure, and just kind of hooks in as the market leader for that Web3 vertical.
Well, I don't know about the actual NFT, because people had told me that the NFT isn't actually the value. The technology is able to be used either way. And I think that we're using them for something. I'm not sure what we're using them for, but if Eric would come on stage, then he'd be able to explain it. But I'm pretty sure that we're using them for something. What I would say is that it just shows how wide open the whole space is for software products. You're talking about basically a verification product here. Go ahead, Nick.
So the insight is this, and we were able to get the information and we didn't have to fire Eric. So
talking about Dippies?
The van. Yes.
All right, go run with Dippies and then I'll go back to Eddie's question. Go ahead, Nick.
The Vans Mint, the allow list is at 12 p.m. for 0.08 ETH, and the public mint is at 4 p.m. Eastern. And that is the situation. If you're a Dippies holder, you can claim for free on June 9th. And then the reveal and the end of claiming is on June 14th. So this is 7 days of pre-reveal pump action.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick is on the allow list. So this just became a big story. This is something that applies to Nick's life. And thus, everybody needs to know about it. We got to stop the show to cover it. Thank
I was
you so
say,
much,
if Nick. I interrupt Nick interrupting what's a fluid topic, is that like the opposite of mansplaining? Is that like a plus?
Gotta love Jesse. So Eddie, what I was gonna say is that between security, right, obviously we need security stuff in this space so bad, worse than anything else, token whatever the name of the, what is it, token proof, that is that what it's called? Verification. And then the big one, right, is accounting. So, like, think about it, accountants are about to, like, straight up go extinct. When you sort of think about it, like, once everything is fully blockchained, accounting software is just going to make everything so easy. You're just going to sign a transaction with your wallets. The accounting software is going to be like, oh, okay, cool. Boom, boom, boom. Here's your taxes, or here's your balance sheet, or here's your, you know, here are your books fully managed, you know? So I just think that, you know, you're going to see more and more of this stuff it's really cool to see the different products emerge and what becomes notable and what rises to the top. And I just hope that those companies figure out the best monetization model, whether it's an NFT monetization model, a monthly subscription monetization model. It's going to be very interesting to see what emerges as the preferred model, because you got like something like Premint with the NFTs, but then you got Nansen with the monthly fees. It's going to be interesting. Jesse, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I know Cass has been waiting, but this is on topic. Just, yeah, we talked about this before. I think one of the biggest issues with all these software products, because we had Premint, you know, seemed like it was going to get out of the gate and swallow up everybody. And I was kind of arguing that they don't really have network effects yet. And I think part of the problem with crypto is it's a double-edged sword, because the friction in spinning up a business, the single sign-on, which is such an asset to crypto, there's so low friction. You know, everything's open source. You can basically get a lot of the code. I think, so now we had Premint. Now all of a sudden we got this token proof. Then there's going to be another one. I think all of these are going to kind of get become commodities. And I think that's a huge problem. I think I tweeted the other day, I think the way businesses in the crypto space are going to, the velocity which they grow and fail is going to be like nothing we've ever seen. And I don't think VCs are ready for it. I don't think most entrepreneurs, like, you have to be able to, you know, iterate so quickly. You have to be able to pivot so quickly. I just think we're going to see a lot of these. If we're going to say Premint is it, like Premint is just going to own sign-on, or token proof is just going to own IRL. And I think there's going to be 10 token proofs within 6 months and 10 Premints. And like, how much of a, if you say you use token proof a bunch of times, and then another one was like, here, click on this to go to our IRL event. And all you had to do was click connect to your wallet. It's so easy that I think it's a problem. Defensibility and building a moat around this is still something that's unsolved.
Yeah, I mean, look at how quickly Axie Infinity rose, and then I don't want to say fell, but I mean, when you get $600 million stolen off of your bridge by North Korea, it's not a good look, right?
No big deal. Just call PO's best man. Give out his cell phone, PO, and he'll get everybody's money back.
He already got my money back, by the way. I was going to mention that, which is hilarious. It's even faster than I expected. Cass, you have your hand raised. Was there something you wanted to add to this?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was going to tease Jesse, because lawyers are going to be like, you're taking our job, and tax lawyers, but I totally actually agree with you. I feel like there's going to be a lot of tools that come up, especially when you have a good working tool, then you kind of get a good working competitor, and then people try to white label that good working tool. And I think like the customization of having like your own tax lawyer is super beneficial than something that's kind of broad stroke. But I think you're going to see this trend of like kind of a bunch of people that don't really know what to do or what to trust. So they're going to go with like the general stuff. And then you're going to see a lot of people that can afford to just have specific or personal lawyers like trend towards that way. So I think you're going to start with whatever is easy, whatever is accessible, whatever the network is doing. But it's hard to prove these things because the network effect in such a small bubble that we live in is not really a network effect until there's like way more people in this industry. So I think you're just going to, you know, continue to see those trends and good companies. So that's what I wanted to add on with what Jesse was saying. Yeah,
and as soon as someone really is ready to rock at scale, then when we get the next cycle of adoption, that's the entity that really crushes it. This past time, it was OpenSea, right? Like, think about it. That game was wide open. Nifty Gateway was in the mix. Then all of a sudden, it just turned out that OpenSea was the most widely used platform, and we still use it. We complain about it. A little bit of competition has been introduced, but the bottom line is no one else has done the same amount of volume. No one else has had the same amount of traffic. It's just impressive. Easy has his hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, kind of a separate topic. I wanted to know if we wanted to talk about that thread that dropped today about that Telegram hack and what was going on. I'm interested a little bit in it. Curious to hear what other people's thoughts are.
Oh, man. I got the inside information on that. A lot of y'all fools are about to be exposed.
Okay, hold on. So we'll dive into that. I want to do a little room reset. I can't wait to hear Nick's insider info. Everybody loves Nick's insider info. But ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time listening, this is the NFT Morning Show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., where we talk all things NFT market discussions, stories, trends, what's going on in the space, what's going good, what's going bad, and everything in between. All of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. I just wanted to quickly also shout out that we're going to be doing an event in at NFT NYC. It is on the Tuesday of that week. We are partnering with Kumite NFT Project by Garib Sheamus and an all-star team surrounding him. I'm not kidding when I say that I couldn't be happier that this is the squad that we're partnering with. I really can't think of anyone else that I'd rather partner with, and I'm not kidding. It's going to be an absolute banger.
Are you kidding?
Check out Kumite. Check out what Garib's got going on. We've had him on this show before to talk about. He's an absolute badass with a background from Web 2, you can call it, that is uniquely positioned to take advantage of the opportunity here in Web 3. So can't wait to work with them on that, and can't wait to see what happens with Kumite for real. But yeah, let's talk about this little gossip thread. Easy, Nick, go ahead, kick things off. I can't wait to hear.
The TLDR on this is somebody dropped a Twitter thread this morning that is like a 16-part thread on them saying that they've been able to bypass Telegram, read private messages from individuals, and have been doing this for what seems like years, have gotten themselves into these high-end, tight-knit circles of really wealthy people, and now this person's supposedly going to die. So they're airing out everything, and they say everyone's fucked. So we'll see what happens.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Go ahead, Nick.
I think it's BS, man.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's engagement farming, but Nick has the inside scoop because I think he's involved in these Telegram messages and is likely going to be outed for something. So I'm very eager to hear if he can front run that news.
I'm definitely familiar with many of the orgies that he was referring to here.
That's where we met. That's where we met. So I'm familiar.
On the private jets and two islands. I don't know if you've heard this story before, but anyways, the bottom line is it's an interesting thread. Maybe this is how did you know that they're— I didn't see them write anything about their death. Easy.
Read their name. The name says I'm going to die. And then all the comments are like, I'm gone.
Nobody—
if you read through it too, the guy talks about— not the guy, the girl, whoever the hell it is actively talking about how like soon this is all over anyway. And a lot of the response to it and the stuff that I've seen in a variety of discords is that this person's posting this because they're going to die. So it seems like that's like the general rumor mill, that consensus that's going around. Obviously, I don't know. I'm not in it. You probably have a better take, being that you're involved in these Telegram conversations.
Totally. Yeah, I'm really concerned about some of the conversations being exposed. I just thought it was interesting that they had this thread. Look, this space is already super sketchy anyways, where you have a bunch of people who are anonymous, and like I don't know. I don't view that as a net positive as a whole. I think it's interesting that people can have pseudonymous. Yeah, there you go.
I got it right. Anonymous.
No, pseudonymous is actually how you say it. Okay. And I think that that's interesting, especially for like writers and things like that. It can be used for harassment as well. And then it also can be used for manipulation of the market, where I see a lot of activity happening in this market. This is a perfect money laundering and fraud environment. And so, you know, you got to question a lot of the information, including this. I just don't know why he's waiting, or she is waiting, to reveal this information. It just
because
seems
it's bullshit, dude, because it's engagement.
Someone said,
farming.
Well, hold on. Grammatic said he's literally dying of multiple diseases. Sorry. Yeah. So it's not just one disease. It's multiple diseases that this—
and they posted a tweet saying that they are dying.
Okay. Look, I still have questions about it. You know?
When I'm dying, I'll make sure to write a Twitter thread to farm engagement with a 30-day lead up before I go ahead and release the information. Clearly,
well,
the doctor gave him 45 days. So easy, go ahead.
Yeah, my biggest concern too is this guy's like, yeah, you got to connect your wallet and sign a transaction to read this. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is so damn dumb. Like, you're going to go here, sign a transaction to your wallet, and then all of a sudden, like, your NFTs are going to be gone. Like, the least likely surprising thing here is that this person manages to get, like, 30 Bored Apes, because we know the apes love to give away their apes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, as soon as I saw it, like, people in our Discord were presenting it to me like, yo, you gotta check this out. This is big. This could be really bad for the space. And just immediately, like, 1 second looking at it, I was like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, this is gonna be really bad. Dude, this is just hilarious. It is so easy. Everyone in the audience
people can't even, but, like, look, we're just paying attention to it because the conversation that was spawned from it, whether or not it's real or true or false. And it's definitely true because let me tell you, man, I know some of these people and all of y'all, all of y'all are about to be exposed. Some of them are listening to this show even, and they're sitting there saying, oh, I thought I was going to get away with this. No, you're about to be exposed. So you're going to want to develop plans to protect yourself from all of the fraudulent activity and scams that you've been pulling all along, all of the just the orgies you've been involved with, the pedophilia ring that is being exposed as part of this as well. I just think that this is all very clear, very accurate, and I just can't wait for all of you to be exposed.
So let me just quickly say, because I'll just save everybody the 30 days. I'm going to go ahead and reveal everything right now, okay? There's a ton of fraud in the space. There's a ton of scams. Your favorite NFT people have rug pulls
name
under
them,
their belt.
Name them.
They all do. They all have rug pulls under
name
their belt.
Name and shame.
They all have burner accounts. They all make fake projects that sell out for like 800K plus. They pocket all the money. They never do anything. They're all sketchy. They all take the company funds and they buy expensive hotels, rental cars, and flights to do whatever the hell they want. But the one part of the story that actually isn't true is the orgy part, because nobody in the NFT space has sex ever.
I think this guy is underestimating the amount of incels are in the crypto and NFT space.
Well, and he did mention in VR settings. So he is saying that some of these orgies did happen in VR.
That makes a lot more sense. There you go. And the orgies happen in VR.
This is mostly targeting the crypto Twitter space, who primarily uses Telegram. So if you've been doing scams and you're not doing it through Telegram, you're probably safe here.
Okay. Yeah, so this is why I always scam on Discord.
You have to scam through Discord. That's the spot.
Why does anyone use that, though? Like, why does anyone use Telegram over any? It's like one of the worst platforms for speaking.
But it's huge for crypto Twitter. Like, that's where every shitcoin and everything else. I think it's people like the encryption and the security behind it. I don't know. Like, me personally, I'm not a huge fan of it. Equities and stuff like that have a lot of groups on there for like trading talk and stuff. But it's like that. It's largely shitcoin and crypto Twitter.
But apparently there's no fucking security if this guy just has every person's chat on it for
since 2019, and he said that he told them about it and they didn't fix it. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, that.
Well, also, like, I don't know if you guys, like, how many of you guys are in those sketchy, like, DeFi Telegram group chats, but, like, big whoop-de-doo is just going to be like, oh, yeah, like, some person with a Japanese name and an anime PFP, like, said that, like, it's not like these people are doxxed on Telegram either, even if this is true, which it's not. Like,
right. There's like, layers to this, and what I will say is that
this is the realest shit ever. I'm tired of everyone is fudding this thread as though it's fake.
Nick, look, what's your pseudonym on Telegram?
Just so I'm not telling you. I would never expose that.
Big Dick Nick.
I was going to say Big
is
Nick.
Is it CT Nick?
Okay.
We know about your Telegram escapades, Nick. No. What I will say is that there are some like whales I know that are like, I'm off of Discord. I'm only on Telegram now. So there might be some truth to that. But this is just like hilarious. I'll give them props for writing a thread that got attention. They're definitely good at that. But I do find it fascinating how much the NFT space, I think it's just reflective of humans in general, like how much drama is attractive to the NFT space. When Easy had one of like the soul guys that's a little bit controversial on his show, that was the all-time high so far on, you know, small sample size, but it was the all-time high for viewership on Easy's show, just because people were like questioning this guy and it was like, you know, dramatic, you know? So this is hilarious the way it's presented. It's like, I'm going to die off multiple illnesses. And that's why 30 days from now, I will be revealing exactly what I know from Telegram.
This is, Pio, just know that this is what I'm going to do with the last 30 days of my life as well. So for all those that think, you know, this is a bullshit, Let me just tell you, you're about to be exposed. You're about to be exposed.
Can someone please clip the recording for me where P.O. says, this is hilarious, the guy said he's going to die?
I know, right? That's going to age well. When at the guy's funeral, that's going to be a really good one. I'm not going to look like a jerk at all. Eddie, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Hold on. Look, we have 16 people all talking over each other, okay, including Gray right now.
Yeah, I'm going to take Gray off stage just because he was talking like just on his own kind of wavelength when everyone else was having a conversation. But yeah, I appreciate you calling that out. Nick, Eddie, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say it's like a fascinating thing that all it really took was just a little bit of drama. I mean, look, even at the time, the Zagabond space where that drama was going on drew 14,000 listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely bonkers.
I've never seen an NFT space that had more viewership than that. Within 48 hours, the Zagabond Andrew Wang space had literally over 70,000 plays, which I had never seen anything like that. But yeah, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, it was incredible. But like, it also draws like a bigger point. I will just like touch on for a sec because that one of my favorite devs in the space, Foobar, F-O-O-B-A-R, he went off for like an hour and a half yesterday, just posting tweet after tweet after tweet in a continuous thread, just saying, I don't think I can, like, quote, I don't think I can trust anonymous teams. And then giving an example of a Dox team doing something incredibly stupid. And he did it for about an hour and a half just to show that, like, look, at the same time that we can't trust non-Dox teams, we also, like, there is some semblance of trust, and even Dox teams do have their own problems. Just like a really fascinating topic to consider in general.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are all good points. Kix, you had something to add?
Yeah, I like that that take you had there, Eddie. And I mean, I agree, because also like a lot of people, they look at projects just if like they're going to like rug or not, then that's their concern with like a Dox team or not a Dox team. But like at the end of the day, even like without a rug, like a team still has to deliver, still has to execute. And if you just look at the real world, it's not like businesses make money and then they just crush it for 10 years. There's, you know, it's hard to succeed out there. So yeah, I get that. I get Fubar's thread. I read that too. I just wanted to quickly touch on this, like, you know, leak from this guy. I mean, it could be a complete joke or a meme or a, you know, whatever, but I don't think it's going to affect us in the NFT space too much, but I'm sure if they actually have some like dirty stuff, some dirty laundry come out, it'll be some interesting bear market tidbits, and potentially some people could go to jail off of it. Because if we learned anything from the Nate Chastain thing, it's that the, you know, feds are definitely looking into the space. They just prefer when the evidence is laid out for them very easily. So yeah.
I was about to bring that up too. It's like, yeah, whether or not this is real, which, if like gun to my head, as Nick likes to make fun of me for saying, you know, obviously I think it's fake, but that doesn't change that people that, you know, in the NFT space are going to be outed for nefarious behavior. I mean, the Nate situation says it all. He did everything with evidence on the blockchain and KYC wallets while working at the biggest platform in the NFT space for $80,000. And I know I'm not trying to disrespect how much money $80,000 is, but when you kind of get into crypto and you're in a position like that, to throw away your career and then eventually get arrested by the FBI for $80,000, it's like a complete joke.
I don't think he thought he was going to get arrested by the FBI.
I don't think he thought so either. But
I'm really excited about I'm about to drop one of the biggest bombs on the space ever. So please stand by for that. I'm in the process of actually publishing a massive thread exposing everybody. So just look forward to that.
That's a thread that I want to read. I definitely can't wait to read that. Nick's an amazing writer, and he has got all the dirt in the space, so I can't wait to hear that. But yeah, in all seriousness, there's so many people in the NFT space that will like do insider trading for like $5,000. Like, seriously, a lot of people. They're actually obsessed with it. Batman, you have your hand raised. You are a digital media journalist. So what are you writing about, Batman? And is that a D-God you have, a Solana D-God, a Solana blue chip?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, I mean, I report news about video games, movies, and music, so that's completely different. But yeah, I wanted to talk about this thread. I mean, is anyone actually surprised that these things happen, you know.
No,
they always happen.
No,
but I'm guessing they're focused on cryptocurrencies and not NFTs. So I read the thread on Twitter and I did get a vibe that it was just cryptocurrencies and not NFTs. If I'm wrong, please correct me. And I read the entire thread and I was shocked that this is happening. And I'm also not surprised that this actually happens. And the fact that there's so many shitty humans in the world and they continue to do this shit is unacceptable. And I hope that thread is real. And I hope all these people that are doing shitty stuff go behind bars and, learn a major lesson and stop doing whatever they're doing, you know?
All right. Look at that. Batman wants these people to go to jail. What a guy. Thank you for that input, Batman. We haven't heard from George, who's on stage. George, I see you listening to the show all the time, and I appreciate that. Was there a particular topic you wanted to discuss that prompted you to request to speak?
Yeah, I was going to speak about gaming a bit, but seeing as I think we really went through that, it's probably better to move on to a different topic.
No, I mean, dude, lay it on me. What kind of gaming stuff did you want to discuss? And then I'll throw it
in. Oh, I was just like going off the back of Spencer, and I think it was Captain's comments. I think it's. I mean, I'm just hoping that the that Yuga are hiring more developers as opposed to, and the first developers. Like, surely they would have been building on this for a while. Even if they have, like, I think it's great that they outsourced it. And I mean, as soon as all the other side stuff started coming out, I started tweeting about how probably they've hired someone because there's just no way that they can have something compelling in this amount of time. I mean, we're literally building a realistic metaverse at the same time, and we're 2.5 years in. Like, it's not an easy feat. So I'm sure they must have been doing that for a while. And then also on the compellingness versus realisticness, I think that compellingness is definitely number one, and you can see that with mobile gaming. There's, like, billions and billions of revenue for these horrendous, like, little brick-breaker games. Just because they're addictive and stuff. But if it is hyper realistic, I do think that adds something. But yeah, I don't want to carry on that topic.
No, all good. I mean, good insight. And Other Deed, Yuga Labs, they have a few bucks. So hopefully, yeah, they're hiring some quality engineers because they got a little bit of money.
I do have another topic if we want to speak about something else.
Sure, sure.
Curious as to if anyone knows or has any ideas on how many people have actually bought tickets to NFC NYC, because every single person I know of is just going there for the side events pretty much.
I don't know one who has a ticket, dude. Like, literally no one who has a ticket.
Yeah, so I mean, I haven't like publicly spoke on this because we are speakers.
So then don't.
Okay. Yeah.
My bad. Sorry, guys.
Shout out to NFT NYC. All right.
Don't get me wrong; it's an amazing conference. It's amazing that it gathers everyone together. I mean, 1,500 speakers is madness.
Wait, is that the actual number?
Yeah, people joke about like 15,000 or whatever, but it is literally like 1,500.
Oh my god, man. Wow. That's too funny.
That's insane.
Oh my god.
Well, look, there's 100,000 people in this space, or more than that, 500,000. So I'm still part of the 1%. But
very nice. Node, we haven't heard from you this morning, amigo. What's going on?
I am exhausted from sweeping yesterday. I swept some portals last night.
Did you?
I swept 15. And
really,
like
15 more?
15 more. And I'd like to go through the list of the poor paper handers that sold them to me. We got Jebediah S.
Let's go expose them.
Shmooey Dotty. You got a verified badge. You're somebody important. Ox Frontman, Retro Modo, all of you. Sorry, condolences. I took your portals. a couple other things I did yesterday that were kind of fun. I was getting my easy hat on, and I bought a free hand, and I bought it pre-reveal. This is the worst time to buy. I bought one pre-reveal, and it was kind of rare when it revealed an hour later, and then I sold it for double, and then I sold my free Grimbog bedbug for 0.17. Which that's actually an interesting project we may want to talk about, because that has like several decent hitters in terms of like NFT influencers in the space working on it. and it had a 0.125 mint last night, and they only minted like 1,000. And I think out of those 1,000 that minted of a 10K project, more than half of those were allowless slots that got them for free. So this is like a project that in a bull market probably would have just pumped like crazy. And it's totally bombed, which is interesting.
Yeah, stuff's bombing left and right. We're seeing issues. I don't know if I talked about it on the show, but like, for example, the Stephen Bliss project, Fear City, if that had come out during a bull run, it would have been pump city. I have to imagine the artist from Grand Theft Auto. I mean, if he had done that at any time in 2021, minus the absolute low points of the year, it would have been pump city. Eddie, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
I just have a fairly quick question, and it's for Easy. I saw that yesterday the Magic Eden team put out the graphic regarding the Magic Eden boat event in NFT NYC. And I also saw specifically that it said invite only. I was mainly curious, two things. One, Easy, are you cool enough that you received an invite to this event for Solana? And two, for a groveler like yourself? But continue.
So I'm throwing an opposite party on a rowboat. We're going to go much smaller, very tight-knit group. I'm not surprised that Magic Eden is wasting more of their money on stupid ideas and taking a horrible approach for their community. That's the least surprising thing. I openly talk about my strong appreciation for the Magic Eden team and all that they do, including taking money out of the ecosystem, launching rugs, and continuing to just drive a ton of value while they reap benefits.
Hey, Easy, I really appreciate that. We were, I just want to shout out the Magic Eden team. I can understand that our partnership will not work out. Thank you.
Speaking of, shout out our sponsors, FTX.
It's a good thing that we're sponsored by FTX, where you can get NFTs with gasless transactions, Solana NFTs, Ethereum NFTs, all the NFTs you want on FTX. Sign up with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app or with the URL, thenifty.com/FTX. You can actually buy our NFT, the portal, on FTX now, because they're just badasses and they can get stuff done really quick because they're all engineers. Kix, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
I just wanted to said that he was going on the rowboat. I was wondering, Easy, is that the Luna party?
That is, in fact. There's a hole in the boat as well, so last one standing wins. It's going to be a ton of fun. Really excited for it.
They can't afford a rowboat. Batman. You have your hand raised again, Batman.
Yeah.
What nefarious criminals do you want to put down now? What's going on?
About the yacht party, man. I feel like it is invite only to certain NFT holders on Solana. So I'm pretty sure they have shit ton of money to rent a yacht, you know? I mean, I do understand that they have been a part of launching rugs and whatever, but they're doing what they can to make the space better, you know, and they are direct competing with OpenSea, and they did a lot of volume. I mean, they did more volume than OpenSea. I mean, you can clearly see those charts, but if you hold a specific Solana NFTs, you get access to the yacht party. So if you don't, maybe you should check out what projects are offering those options.
Over or under 2 ounces of cocaine on that yacht? Over or under? What do we got?
Way over. The Adderall will be through the roof. Anything that gets you just blood flowing. I think they only sell vodka Red Bulls. All the TVs on the boat are 1 minute candles. It's going to be a blast.
I'm not sure about all those drugs, but I'm pretty fucking sure there'll be a lot of dumbasses drinking out of their shoes.
Okay. And all right, Batman.
Shoeies!
The shoe trend is fascinating. There was a guy on Easy's show yesterday, very reasonable sounding guy, that was like, and I actually wanted to put the question out to all you guys. It's like, so I want to drink a beer out of the shoe on my YouTube show every single day. What beer should I put in the shoe tomorrow? It was like so earnest, you know, and it was just funny. And the whole Solana community was rallying behind him. It was awesome. Shout out to Solana. So we have Tomas Gerard. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce your name. You like crypto, NFTs, and football. I'm assuming that that's proper football and not American football. What's going on, Tomas?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak. Yeah, it's proper football. I'm born and raised in Germany, you know, but I live in the US, so I have to specify that. Yeah, but I was going to talk about the risks, safety risks about the crypto space in general. And, you know, like, I personally think that if or people that enter the space have to be clear about the risk that they take in the space. And especially, you know, there's a lot of scammers out there. There's a lot of influencers out there that use their reach to scam people and lead people into the wrong type of projects. And so I think, so I'm part of a German community that try to help people understand these type of risks. And so it's for us as in NFT space. Sorry about that. I just woke up half an hour ago and tuned into the show. Yeah.
All good, amigo. Don't worry about it. Shout out to Germany. Nick, you were going to add something?
No, it just sounded like he abandoned the thought at the end of the statement.
He fell back asleep.
Yo, so I got some alpha about this upcoming project, but hold up. I'm getting a little drowsy. Just realized I didn't wake up properly.
Isn't it also 4 p.m. in Germany?
He said he lives in the United States, so he's probably a West Coast.
I'm based in the West Coast. I just woke up, you know, my German community is always bugging me and telling me about the morning space. So I'm like, yeah, I need to check the space out. Got to wake up at 6 a.m., you know, bring the kids to school and kind of tune in.
There's a bunch of 6'6" German guys right now that are devastated that you haven't, you know, delivered the kind of the speech that they were looking for. you got Germany on your back right now, man. You're not looking too precise if you catch me. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Go ahead, Tomas. Yeah. I was just yeah. So basically, I mean, being in the space, right, we are aware of our risk that we're taking. Ever since I uploaded my mutant ape, I'm getting so many messages and whatnot, links sent to me. You know, that's something that there's kind of predators out there that are waiting for the opportunity to kind of scam people out of their hard-earned money. So I think it is our job, and especially for influencers like yourself, to educate people about the risks, especially people that are coming new to the space, about the risks that they can find in this space, right? There's a lot of people that make quick buck on lucky trades, but they don't actually know what is entitled to be in this space and how many dangers there really are out there. Right.
Yeah. Hey, great call, Tomas. And I hope that, you know, we do our part in educating a little bit while we entertain. I feel like we tell people not to click on links and not to do dumb stuff, obviously. We got relicboon.eth, the nicest guy in Web3. New world order. You like NFT world token. And it looks like you are a co-host of a Twitter Spaces and you own a Bored Ape Yacht Club. I also think you've been on the show before. What is going on, relicboon.eth?
Hey, man, how's it going? I actually no longer own a Bored Ape. That's actually why I came on stage. I had a question for Nick. So you guys at the beginning of the show were talking about hedging, and I thought it was a good time for me to hedge my portfolio a little bit. So I sold my Bored Ape for 100 ETH on X2Y2, only paid 0.5 ETH in fees, which was great.
Congratulations, buddy. That's a lot of dough.
Yeah. So I did that. I obviously bought a mutant because I'm booked for with an Airbnb and flight already for Ape Fest. So need that. And so just decided to downgrade a little bit. And I was going to convert to USDC, but I had to go to a movie right after I sold. I get out of the movie and I look at the ETH chart and I was like, oh, my God. So I actually it was a little shameful. So my question for Nick was, I'm seeing ETH potentially going sub 1200, maybe even triple digits. I actually did just do the USDC conversion. I was going to ask if I should wait for maybe a slight rebound here, but I said, you know what, let's just hedge. I have more than enough money in NFTs. But I was just seeing long term, I'm really concerned about the macro environment with some things going on with first of all, the oil companies, as well as the housing market. And I was just wondering Nick's thoughts as well on the long-term or short-term macro environment for ETH. Over.
I love some Nick technical analysis. Let's go.
And it's not just technical analysis. I am our resident macroeconomics expert, and I just think that it would be relevant for me to provide and articulate my position on the matter. But in all seriousness, the fact that we have so much bearish perspective, and it's making me second guess my position here. There's two things. There's short term and long term. I said it yesterday. Until the price action changes, I'm still bearish on the price of ETH. That said, you could argue that we're in a I had done a trade with a falling wedge, I guess, the other day, I think that's what it's called, and ended up making money on that trade. And there's a bigger one that we're within, so we actually could see, like, it's impossible to say in terms of price action where any of this is going to go. We're in no man's land right now in terms of we don't have any clear-cut levels outside of the one it keeps bouncing down to is around 1725. So I'm waiting to just see what happens around that range. And maybe we actually end up with another pump, right? So it's impossible to say. It's just in a space where I don't have a setup to move. In terms of moving into stable coins, I did last night just with the Goblin, but I still have exposure to Bored Apes. I have exposure to Mutants. I have a lot of exposure in this space and have lost probably $700,000 now just on my NFT portfolio. But I'm just holding on to those. I don't know why. It may be one of the dumbest things that that I end up doing. But here I am holding on to those. And so I like your trade. I just put everyone is different. Macroeconomics doesn't matter. Ultimately, if you have a ton of exposure to something and you don't have any cash, it's going to be quite painful. I saw an interview with the guy. There was a guy who was known for making millions off of Dogecoin and was put on all of the different publications, and the guy just kept diamond handing it. And so he went from having putting in tens of thousands of dollars, like call it 20 grand, 30 grand, something like that, going up to $3 million, and it's now down at like 300,000. And so he was like, does he wish he had sold some? And the answer for that is yes, obviously. And I think that that's something that, you know, for anybody who's in the space, I had a couple tweets when I sold my Goblin that were like, oh, Nick's not there's a meme in there, Nick not serious investor or investor. And I know it's as much of it as a meme, there's still a large portion of people that shame for selling. And ultimately, only you know your financial situation. But if you're overexposed to NFTs and you're just like, wow, this is a large portion of my overall portfolio and it's subject to this wild volatility, if you're not sleeping well at night, you know, it's oftentimes best to sell. In terms of what the ETH price action is, your guess is as good as mine. A lot of people, and myself included, based on the current levels, expect it to go down to, 1,600, 1,300, and maybe below. But nobody has any idea. Like, there's no way of actually saying, hey, here's the price that it's definitively going to, because new levels are set all the time. I just look at, do we break below or do we break above specific lines? And then I make my trade based on that. Right now, we're in the middle zone, and so I don't know whether or not we're capitulating further or if we're going to bounce and get above it. And if we do bounce above it, I could see a run-up to, 2,600 or something like that would not be out of the question if we break above this current wedge that I'm looking at. But we're at the bottom side of that. It could break below, and then we drop a lot further. And so right now we're just in a weird state. If you sold your ape though, typically anytime I sell something of sizable amounts, I don't then just go and gamble on ETH or any other underlying asset. I move all that to stablecoin because the entire purpose of why I sold that asset was because I didn't feel comfortable holding it anymore or didn't believe in it. But if it's really expensive, it's not like I don't place $200,000 bets. And so I've never been in a position where I'd end up selling a Bored Ape or something like that. I've never been in the position. The only thing I've sold of that amount is a business. And in that scenario, it wasn't like, oh, let me just go buy another business right now. It was more of like, oh, I sold this thing. Let me like invest some of it and hold on to it and develop stability for my life. And that's the whole purpose of why you're selling those things typically. So I don't know. I mean, congratulations. And yeah, if you lost a little bit on the ETH price action, you at least get to take another loss on that because you can book another loss against the gains that you just had, at least short term. So if you have any other short term gains moving into the end of this year, you'll at least have that loss offset to some degree. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You got to know for yourself. And in terms of ETH, I have no idea where it's going. It's in a weird no man's land. If it breaks below 1700, if it drops below 1700, then I'd be in a shorting position. If it goes above right now, at this point, 1950, or 1940, then I'm potentially in a long position. So that's where I'm at right now.
That makes me feel a lot more comfortable. Everything you said, I mean, I still got like a half million in NFTs, so I'll be comfortable with that, hedging the opposite way as well. I think my most scary outlier is I own a construction company and we handle insurance claims, and the rate at which customers we're running into that are being foreclosed on is increasing heavily. And last time we saw that in a macro perspective, it did not end well. So that was one thing that's got me a little bit shaky.
I was just going to say one last thing and then feel free to say this, but the bottom line is this: if you're holding NFTs right now, when ETH capitulates, the NFTs just capitulate. We just see this over and over again. And so there's going to be a lot of people, if this price collapses, which is what a lot of us are saying are going to happen, a lot of that money is going to go down significantly. And so all of your paper gains are going to evaporate. That said, that we're in this space because we believe in the long-term viability of it, but there's going to be a lot of pain. And I think if you're seeing that on the macro level, all the other stories that we're seeing are bearish macro, holding a big bag of NFTs, which is a high-risk asset, probably not the smartest move in terms of percentage of portfolio being high.
Yeah. And if I could just comment on a couple things Nick said, you know, Nick brought up a comparison to Dogecoin. And I don't actually think that when you're looking at something like Bored Apes and comparing it to Dogecoin, I don't think that that's the best angle. I understand where Nick was coming from with that comment, but the distinction to me is Dogecoin is an early cryptocurrency that effectively is a wannabe Bitcoin, which effectively means it is a wannabe store of value, safe haven asset, digital money, which I think we can all agree it's just not the thing.
Here we go. Safe haven asset.
Here we go.
70%.
I'm being serious. Whereas Bored Ape Yacht Club is like a wannabe Babe Ruth rookie card, X-Men comic book from 1962. You know, so I actually feel better, much better, about a quote unquote blue chip NFT collectible versus like a bullshit wannabe Bitcoin, because I just understand that there's going to be ebbs and flows in the market. And maybe we don't hit all-time highs for Bored Ape Yacht Club ever again. Maybe we do, but it takes a long time. Maybe it happens this year. Who the hell knows, right? But that's the distinction that I would make in that particular comparison. And then the other thing I want to throw out there is, I don't know if anyone thinks about this, but Nancy Pelosi bought call options on Apple and Microsoft.
Best trader in the world.
So wait, I think it's important because before we move on from this, like, I think it's important to talk about a topic called career risk. So like, I think one thing a lot of people I've been noticing is doing, and I've even been doing myself, is going heavier in their career into Web3, into NFTs, building during the bear market. And when you do that, like I've just noticed a lot of people who maintain really big personal NFT portfolios, and that makes like no sense to me, right? Like you generally want your personal assets and your career that's going to assumedly earn you future assets to have risk exposure to different things. If you're just stacking on your own basically like personal, essentially leverage, right? If you're doing career risk and assets you're holding to the same asset, like you're completely unhedged. And so I think one thing that a lot of people should consider is if they're pivoting their career harder into Web3 during the bear market to build, like that's a good argument for then not holding your personal assets in the same risk category. Because if NFTs go up, like you have a huge participation in that upside via your career, like you don't necessarily need to be holding so many of the assets as well.
Fantastic.
Oh, so boring.
That was well said.
That was fantastic. That was. Look, we're at time. Nick, do you anything before we wrap?
My only counterposition is, fortune favors the bold there, Spencer. And, I'm going to go all in.
How's that working out for you?
Pretty well.
Wow, Spencer firing shots when I don't know if they're totally valid.
Actually, that's the time that I've always made most of my money. And actually, most historical, if you talk to a lot of billionaires, that's the exact same thing. When you have insight and conviction on something and you go all in on it, that's how you make most of your money. So shout out to those diversifying, buy an index fund.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the NFT Morning Show. We're wrapping for the day. The show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Check out our NFT. It's pinned to the top. And hope you enjoy our content. We will be back tomorrow. Check out our event at NFT NYC. It's at Mr. Purple in Lower East Side. Very nice venue, even if I do say so myself. It's the type of venue that cool people go to, which means that we will all be very out of place over there. Can't wait to see you guys there. Shout out to Kumite. Shout out to Garab partnering with us. I'm absolutely jazzed up about that. And shout out to our sponsor, FTX. I will catch you guys tomorrow. Listen to Easy Show at 5 p.m. if you want to learn about Solana. Let's go.